Well, last Sunday, as I said, we began a new series on reaching the next generation. Listen, I believe that every church of Jesus has a unique kingdom contribution. See, just like every one of you is created uniquely, and each one of you, each one of us has a unique kingdom contribution that is different than the person sitting next to me. You know, even if it's like, that's my mom and that's my daughter and we're really close, but you're created uniquely, individually. And that each one of us has this kind of kingdom contribution that God has designed for us. And you can read that in Ephesians chapter 2. And listen, I believe that every church in the same way is created uniquely. It has kind of its own DNA because of the people that God has drawn, the leadership that he has provided, and the unique vision that he has poured out. Those prophetic, you know, impetus that kind of get us moving in certain directions, those nudges from the Lord to like move a certain way, or another church who loves Jesus maybe moving a little bit differently. That's not only okay, that's the way God has planned it, right? Listen, if every church was doing the exact same things, we would only be reaching the exact same audience or people out there that need Jesus and need to be touched by him. But because there's beautiful diversity within different churches, man, we get to do a whole lot of things, and it's a lot of fun when we get to do them together with other churches. I love that. In fact, we're doing our worship night tonight, but in just a matter of days, our Spanish congregation is combining with Pan de Vida Church, and they're going to have we're going to have a combined worship night in Spanish. I love those sort of things when we're able to work together with other churches and ministries. But one of the unique kingdom contributions that God has given our church is to very uniquely and powerfully do this, reach the next generation. We believe that this is not just something that is like, oh yeah, every church has to have a children's ministry. Every church says that, you know, kids are important. No, listen, we own this to our core. Like to our bones, Santa Maria Foursquare is called by the Lord to reach the next generation. Amen? And listen, if you've been around for some decades, you know that, man, this church has had impact with children and with youth, big time. I mean, reach hundreds and hundreds of kids. And this is part of our DNA. It's part of what God has called us to as a church. And guess what? Last week, we talked about building a playground. This week, we're going to be talking about building a ministry that's going to reach children. And when we talk about reaching the next generation, just a very brief recap, but last week I answered the question kind of like, well, what generation? Well, sociologists tell us that, you know, the different generations that come along, they're actually marked by certain characteristics. And what they tell us is not only was there the boomer generation, you know, the baby boomers, and then the millennial, or I'm sorry, Generation X, right, came along, I'm one of those. And then the millennials followed them. And then this next generation is really the one that we're talking about when we're saying reaching the next generation. And what they have termed it, and there's books and articles you can go online and read about, is Generation Z. Generation Z. And what they tell us is that there were some really unique characteristics of those born between 1995 and 2010. 95 to 2010. I have one. Out of my three kids, my youngest is like the oldest in Generation Z. And so I have one of those in my family. And so when we talk about reaching the next generation, we're really talking about going after those born during that window of time, those that are kind of like 7 years old to about 22, right? Now, for our purposes and what we're talking about, we're even throwing it all the way down to babies. And we're really talking about kind of cradle to college, you know, kind of birth all the way through those early college years. And we're just using that title, Generation Z. Now, Generation Z is the largest generation that has ever been born in the United States. Largest, right now, just those like 7 to 22 years old actually comprise 26% of all Americans. And what they're telling us, sociologists are saying, is that really we consider this one the last generation. The last generation. Not because they're predicting the end of the world, but because they're saying that life is speeding up and culture is moving so quickly that by the time that next generation kind of would come, we're not even going to name them anymore because it's going to be like things are changing so fast that it's going to be impossible to take a segment of society and give it a name. They're calling this the last generation. And you guys, we want to go after them. We want to win them for Jesus. We want to win them for Jesus. The foundational scripture that we began looking at last week that I want to remind us of is from Psalm chapter 78, verses 2 through 7. Psalm 78 says this, I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We're not going to hide them. We will tell the next generation. Everybody say next generation. Next generation. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. In verse 5, for he, the Lord, issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. So the next generation, everybody say next generation? Next generation. Might know them. Even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. That's us, like passed down from next generation to next generation, all the way down to us sitting in this very space this morning. Why? So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. So that every generation would set its hope anew on God. Any of you that have already responded to the Lord and put your trust in Jesus, guess what? Your hope has already been made anew in God. So it is our responsibility to take that we've experienced in the Lord and to give it away, to sow that into the next generations so that they're going to have not just an equal opportunity that you received, even a better opportunity. And guess what? They need it because, man, there's so much that is bombarding Generation Z and they need us to step up in ways that we've never done before in order to reach this next generation. And you might ask, listen, hey, pastor, I get it. You're all excited about kids and all excited about this next generation. But isn't it like equally important to reach every generation? I mean, isn't it important to do that? Well, you know what? Yes and no. Here's what I would say. Yes, we minister to every generation. You know, we do not discriminate against age or gender or ethnicity or language. Listen, we're going to minister to every single person who walks through our door, okay? We're going to all the way from babies all the way to great grandmas and grandpas, right? And we've got some in the room. We're going to minister to everyone. But can I tell you, there's something about reaching kids and youth that is unique and is strategic in the kingdom. In fact, it was just a few months ago that we even showed a short little video because what people who study faith and faith development and missiologists, like how do people come to the Lord and what does it all look like? They actually talk about something called the 414 window. That when they study, when did people come alive to Christ, put their trust in Jesus, guess what? Most of them, a big majority of them, gave their life to the Lord during the years from 4 to 14. Wow. So if most people are most receptive to putting their trust in Jesus during that window, do you think it might be strategic? Do you think it might be important? In fact, I've even done some recent research and just some stats have come out. Do you know the most pastors right? Most pastors who felt that call from the Lord to uniquely serve him in this kind of ministry, do you know that over half of all pastors who said, God, I'm hearing you to step into ministry like this, most of them was between 14 years old and 21 years old. Generation Z right now. Most pastors sense that call of the Lord during that unique period of time. So yes, do we minister to every generation? We do. But it is the most strategic. And if we're going to do anything really well, let's go after those who are most receptive and most responsive to Jesus. Let's really go after Generation Z. Thank you. I got to tell you, though, we as the church are not the only ones to be going after this generation. Hey, can I give you a couple of historical quotes? One from more ancient history, one from not quite so ancient history. But you may have come across this because this is a very famous line. But communist revolutionary Vladimir Lenin said this: give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Dang. I mean, just let that sit there for a moment. Listen, we're not the only ones who understand that children and youth are most receptive. Their hearts have not yet become all packed down like that hard soil that we talked about over the past season. You know, their hearts haven't been hardened down, so they're very receptive to receiving thoughts and ideas and concepts and understanding. I mean, we have the truth. We have the word of God to sow into their lives rather than an ideology or a concept that is going to really take them far away from God. So that's kind of the more ancient of the quotes. Here's one that is not quite so ancient, but it's now pretty old, right? This was actually spoken by the founding chairman of MTV, and it was all the way back when I graduated from high school, right? MTV's been around a long time. And Bob Pittman said this: if you can get their emotions going, make them forget their logic, you've got them. At MTV, we don't shoot for 14-year-olds. We own them. We don't shoot for 14-year-olds. We own them. Can I tell you that the world is going after your kids? The world is going after our children. The world is going after Generation Z. That's an old quote. I mean, that was like predated Nickelodeon and everything, because, you know, Nickelodeon's owned by MTV. And so they're like grooming a generation of kids on all this stuff. So it's just like from one stage to the next to the next. And now we own you. We got you. We own your hearts. We own your ideas. We can drop stuff in creatively and really well. And can I tell you, they're spending billions of dollars to do it. But guess what? We have something that MTV and all the other things do not have. We have the love of Jesus, right? Compelling us to reach out and to go after this generation. MTV, they got no love. They got no love for our kids. You know what they want? They want their minds and they want their money. And they're getting it. We have to do something different. Something different. Last week I shared something, and I just want to review this for a moment in case you weren't here, because it's very important for how we're going to be moving forward. And then I want to take the last minutes to share about this new children's ministry that we're going to be launching. Brie, go ahead and put up that slide where how are we going to reproduce the life of Jesus in the next generation? No, I'm sorry, wrong slide. Hey, reproducing. Reproducing the life of Jesus in the next generation so they'll put their hope on God. We talked about three different things, you guys. This is, I believe, an easy model to remember, but I believe it's also very important. We're going to love kids. We're going to reach kids. We're going to disciple kids. And the order of this, to me, is highly, highly important. It must start with love. We must allow our hearts to be so drawn to these children and to these youth. We need our hearts to be bursting with God's love for them, because guess what? His heart is bursting for them. And Jesus' love is an unconditional love. That means, you know what? This generation don't have to earn my love. I'm just going to give it. In fact, how are they going to earn your love anyway? Right? Think about it. How are they going to earn your love? All the love we pour out is that undeserved, unconditional love. Right? We don't change our babies because they deserve it. We change it because we're good parents. Because I just love this stinky little child. Right? We feed them, we nourish them, we pour out our hugs and kisses on them, not because they deserve it or somehow they've been good enough to earn it. No, we do it because, and God has done something in our hearts to explode with love for them. So we love kids. But guess what? Love compels us to do the next thing. And we're just calling that reach. It's our reach. Reach is whatever we do that shows the next generation that we love them. Our reach is our love being demonstrated. So everything we're doing with the playground, guess what? That's our reach. Literally, we're reaching into our wallets. We're saying, God, we want to do something to demonstrate the love that you have for these kids and that we have for them. So guess what, Lord? We're going to give. We're giving because we are demonstrating our love for this generation. Everything that we do, like with Fiesta, and you heard about Dia de la Familia, it's a community activity, an event that we sponsor a couple of times a year. All those sort of things that we do is our reach. It is demonstrating our love. And then this last one, discipling, check this out. We do not earn the right to disciple the next generation until we've loved them, until we've reached them. Sometimes we just want to cut right to discipleship, right? I'm going to form the life of Jesus in you. So let me tell you what you need to do. Let me tell you how you should be responding. Let me tell you all these wonderful things. And guess what, guys? Discipleship is what it's all about when it comes to like really reproducing the love and life of Jesus in the person. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to get to that, we're going to love them first. Because discipleship without love, it ain't good. Have you ever been somewhere where you knew you were being preached at? You were being somehow, there was some maybe even spiritual manipulation, or I mean, it just, you know, it was like, this doesn't feel right in my spirit. Well, listen, where there is not love, discipleship is always going to fall apart. Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus loved people. Jesus had a heart of compassion for people, and it's what motivated him and compelled him to lead as he did and disciple as he did. But we're going to disciple the whole person. Heart, hand, and head. We're going after the whole person. Listen, for a year we've been working on what this might look like when we would relaunch a children's ministry that would have so much fun and excitement for our kids, but give us an opportunity to love them, to show them that we love them through our reach, and then to disciple this generation. And so I want to show you what it is that we have come up with. And so now you can put up that slide. And we are going to be launching something called Safari Kids. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a timetable on this, but by the time we actually launch, the logo is actually going to look cooler than that. we're partnering with a kind of a famous artist and mural painter, and I'll explain that to you, but it's so exciting what's going to be happening over this coming season. But I'm excited about the name that God gave us for this new children's ministry. I really am, for two reasons. One is that Safari is all about discovery. Right? It's fun, but it's about discovery. And if you've been around Santa Maria Foursquare for any length of time, we really believe that all discipleship begins with discovery. It's not, whoa, learning something new. You turn a corner and it's like, I did not know that. I did not realize that. Something about God, something about the way he made me, something about his word that all of a sudden comes alive. It's a discovery, and it's the beginning point of all discipleship. So we think, man, this is really awesome because Safari is all about new discoveries. Plus, it's really fun, man. Jungles and animals and all the sounds and all the wonderful stuff. It's a lot of fun. So I'm excited about the name for that. But you know what? There's even something to me that is just as important. Because when Joel and I were really working through what a ministry like this be called, and you know what we did? We went to a website that has every word in English that is the same as every word in Spanish. You can go on Wikipedia and find it. And we were going through there saying, God, wouldn't it be cool if there was a name for a ministry that you would give us that is the same in English and Spanish? Because church, we are one church with two congregations. We're one church that meets in English and in Spanish. In just an hour or so, guess what? There's going to be a whole bunch of Spanish speakers in here, and they're going to be hearing a very similar message and word than we're hearing right now through Pastor Joel. And I'm excited to tell you that Safari is the same in English as it is in Spanish. Because neither one of us created it. It was a Swahili term that was taken by both languages. So we're going Swahili, right? All right? So I'm excited just even about the name Safari Kids. But I want to talk to you about the new model that we're going to be using with our children's ministry. Some of it is going to look a bit similar to what we do now, but some of it is going to be really new and fresh. Probably the biggest thing that is going to be different, Brie, you can put up that next slide, is this. When we meet on Sunday mornings, the kindergartners through sixth graders are all going to meet together in the gym before they do anything else. And that's where, this is what we're calling, it's a big group getting the big idea. And we have some excellent teachers, right? We got some great teachers who are going to deliver that, like, the big idea for the morning. That truth, that discovery about who God is, who they are in Christ, something about his word. And they're going to deliver that in a way where it really comes alive in their hearts. So we would almost call this like the tribal council, right? This is where they're all getting together, but it doesn't stop there. And this is super exciting that when they've had that first time, you know, first part of the gathering, then, next slide, they're going to move into smaller settings. And this would more recognize what we do now with our classes, except their little tribe, right? Like the second, third graders, they're going to leave the gym setting and they're going to go to their classroom. And guess what's going to happen there? Stuff that revolves more around relationship. There's going to be small group interaction right there about what we just heard. Hey, let's talk about the big idea. Let's talk about this discovery that we're making. What would this look like in our home? What would this look like at school? What would this look like in our lives? They're going to really talk about how this impacts our lives. But then that's also when they get to have fun together in doing, like, whether it's a craft or a game or something that kind of illustrates that big idea in a deeper way. And I am so excited about this two-part way that we're going after kids. And before we go on, I just want to tell you, you know, some that are in this room are going to become part of Safari Kids. And before we leave in just a few moments, I'm going to tell you what that's going to look like. In fact, we've got some cards. If you can go ahead and pass those out, and then I'll talk about those. But We've got great teachers. We've even got some really good trainers in our church. But can I tell you what we really need is we need mentors. We need people who would say, I love Jesus and I love kids, and I would take one Sunday a month to be part of this new Safari Kids. If we're gonna go after these kids, listen, it's not just about building a playground. Like I said, we need to build a ministry that is going to effectively love and reach and disciple these kids. And discipleship is right at the core of that. And discipleship takes mentors. Listen, we talked about the heart, the head, and the hands. We mentor the heart. We teach the head, and we train the hands. What we need, church, is we need people just like you who will be mentors. And the cool thing about it is, because we already have teachers that are going to be doing the big group with the big idea, you could say, whoa, I could do this, and you mean I don't have to like be the main teacher? No, you can come in and just like build relationship with the kids. And if you like doing crafts, guess what? You're going to be able to lead in doing a craft. If you'd rather like, if you're like a game person and want to create something fun and energetic for those kids, guess what? You're going to be able to do that in the context of that little tribe coming out and having time with the kids after they leave the gymnasium. I am so excited about this model: teachers, trainers, and mentors. But what we really need. What we really need, what our kids need, is mentors. In fact, right now, we've already got a number of people who are so committed to our children's ministry. Some of them have done so for decades. We've introduced some of those to you before. But can I tell you that in the next month, what we need is we need 30 new mentors to say, I would be involved one Sunday per week, just one Sunday per week to be a mentor. Sorry. Typically, there is only one Sunday a week. But we're going to a new model. Okay, no, sorry. Thank you. Just one Sunday a month, either week one, week two, week three, or week four, and that becomes your week with a particular age group. And guess what? You're not even going to do that alone, because we always have two mentors working together. Always two, right? That keeps you from going insane, and it keeps the children really blessed and protected. In fact, if we get even more mentors, we would love to have even three or more mentors in a classroom environment, because it allows there to be more personal contact and relationship with these kids. Because we mentor the heart, and you never get to a kid's heart, right? Unless they know that you love them and that you care about them. And so we really want people who say, you know what? I love Jesus, and I'm learning to love kids. And I would be willing to be a mentor 1 week a month. What's the timing? So you understand kind of where we're going in this next season. This is going to get rolled out over the summer, but I want to show you those dates. And Bree, if you could just put the dates up. Here's some important dates, things that you're going to see happening. June 12th, that's the week actually kind of leading up to Father's Day, which when we're concluding this series, you're going to see transformation happening. I mentioned that we've got kind of a nationally famous artist that's going to be coming in. Somebody I've known his parents for a long, long time. I think I'd met him a couple of times when he was actually a youth, when he was a kid, and now he's all grown up, and he is incredible. And big companies hire him to come in and do like huge sides of buildings, big public art displays. He is amazing. And he's going to be here, and he is going to help us transform all of our kids' spaces that are really nice right now, but kind of undecorated. And we're going to be turning our kids' ministry spaces into Safari Kids. And man, you're going to be blown away, because kids are going to think, am I in Disneyland? I mean, it's going to be amazing. So the week of June 12th, transformation. The following week, the week of June 19th, we're going to do training, just two times. We're going to do a Wednesday evening dinner time of training for all the people involved with Safari Kids, or you can pick to come on Saturday morning and we'll feed you breakfast and we'll do that sort of thing. So you can come on a weeknight or you can come on Saturday morning, and because we're going to do some training for all those who are saying we want to be part of Safari Kids. And then you'll see that there's two more things. On Sunday, July 9th, we're going to do what we're just going to call a little launch. All right? We're trusting that by that weekend, the playground will be open. And so it's like, wow, the playground will be up. We'll dedicate that. But what we're going to do is we're going to do kind of a little launch of Safari Kids, but it's just for us, right? We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to put it on the website. We're not going to like do a big hurrah. We want to do it for us first, and that's going to get our kids some special attention, but it's also going to give us a month to get the bugs out of the safari, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? And then followed up a month later on Sunday, August 13th, which was right around when kids go back to school, we're going to do a big grand opening of Safari Kids, and man, I am so excited about this, but we need mentors. We need 30 additional people, right, to say, I would be willing one Sunday per month to give myself to pouring into relationship with these children and to help them become who God's calling them to be. I want to show them how much God loves them by giving something of my time. I want to say this to you, and please hear my heart. I'm not wanting to manipulate anyone. But listen, last week, a lot of people reached into their wallets and gave financially to help build a playground. But to build a ministry, we're going to not just have to give money. We got to give ourselves. We got to give ourselves. We have to climb in to the offering plate. Will I fit? I don't know. But I'm going to give it all, Lord. I'm going to give it all, Lord. Here's the commitment. Five things. You'll see them right there. If something is stirring in your heart saying, man, should I, could I, might I, say, God, at least I'd even pray about being a mentor. Here's the five things that we're committing to as mentors. I love Jesus and I love kids. Number two, I've been part of Santa Maria Foursquare since at least January because we have a policy, you can't serve with kids or youth, unless you've been here for 6 months. And by the time we even do our little launch, people that have been here since January will have qualified and will have been here for at least 6 months. Number three, I will submit to a national background check. That's not only a policy that we have, that really is a lot of wisdom. We don't have anybody working with a minor at our church that has not passed a background check, no adults. Number four, anyway, let me just say, there are some people in our church that can't pass a background check because some of us have histories, right? Some of us did some things that if we could go back, we wish we hadn't done. And if that's you, I really encourage you to say, I want to somehow be involved, even though I know I won't be able to be a mentor. I would still love to do something. And we're, you know what? We will find creative ways for you to help on some of the nuts and bolts stuff. And, you know, maybe you could go in ahead of time and clean a classroom or set it up or get the craft ready or the snack ready. There's things that people that can't pass background checks can still do to serve and love the next generation. Number four, fourth commitment, I will participate in a training session that week on June 21st, the evening of Wednesday 21st or Saturday morning the 24th. I'll come and receive training. And number five, I will serve Safari Kids one Sunday each month. I want to pray and give you just a moment to consider. Can I tell you, if you fill this out this morning, and by the way, we're not going to belabor this. This is like our playground pledges. We're only going to do this through Father's Day. So you may take this card and you may take it home and say, God, I'm going to put it on my refrigerator and pray about it every day. God, could I do that? Are you calling me to do that? Do I have a desire to do that? But some of you, even this morning, you just sense God saying, be involved. Get involved one Sunday a month to make a commitment to the next generation. And if that's you, I'm going to ask, even if you are not 100 and 110% positive, I'm going to be able to do this, but I'm willing, God. I want to do this. I'm going to ask for you to fill it out now and not even wait another week. And it's pretty easy. You can see that there's some things that you would circle there to let us know. And you actually have an opportunity to indicate, do I want to work with the K through sixth grade, which is more that, you know, it's the big group, big idea, and kind of go back to a classroom? Or maybe there are some of you that say, you know what, I would be willing to go in and love on our the littles, you know, go in and just care for babies, care for pre-K. You know, we have some teachers that have been doing that, that have been doing it so faithfully, but we don't have enough mentors in those environments. We do not have enough right now. We need people to rise up and say, I believe that God's calling me to do something amazing and special for the next generation. So some of you may be called to work with those before kindergarten. We need many to jump in and be involved with K through six. And you know what? We also have, I am so blessed that we've got families with special needs kids who trust this church to love their children. But some special needs kids need special help and need special mentoring. And you may have a heart to say, you know what? I would love to, for a Sunday a month, to give myself to assisting a special needs child. And man, we would love to see that happen, and we'll resource you and we'll help you do that. But if that's something that God had put in your heart, we would love to know. And then, it's only one Sunday a month. Week one, week two, week three or four. And then the last thing on there is that we have a unique opportunity. Some of you say, you know what? I don't want to miss service. I really, really don't think that I would be comfortable with like taking one Sunday a month where I'm not like in with the family and getting an opportunity to worship this way. It's just, you know, I want more than a podcast. I don't know. You do really want to be here? Great. Because we have a second service and it's in Spanish. But can I tell you that almost every child that goes to our Spanish service speaks English? And you could be a mentor in our Spanish service because all the kids, right, in our community are going to public schools in English for the most part. And so anyway, I would really encourage you to think, man, wow, you mean like I could come on one Sunday, go to service, and then just stick around for our second service, and I could serve there. So you need to tell us on there if your preference is to serve in the first service or to even step maybe out of your comfort zone just a little bit and to serve in the second service.